Yeah, getting ready for the big day tomorrow. Eric Meehan of Bangor Wine and Cheese Company joining us for Message in the Bottle. Hello there, Eric.
It's not today.
Oh, you started early, huh?
You know who started early? I'm going to tell you who started early. Hunter Henry. Nelson Agholor. Jalen Mills. Matthew Judon. Jonnu Smith. Special team stud Justin Bethel. Cam Newton back for another run. Trent Brown through a trade. And I'm sure there's more. I started early?
Yeah. Yeah, what? Well. What? Look, if you had Bob Kraft's money, you also could have started that early.
I was going to come on here and start with the Giants' legendary signings, but thank God I saw that they finally re-signed Leonard Williams about an hour ago, so I'm like, okay.
Oh, I didn't see that. Well, that's good.
That's no. That's not good. That's baseline. Like, you knew you needed him. You were planning on bringing him back. You managed to not get stolen, you know, or him, kite from you. I'll tell you who's doing a little half. Drew Rosenhaus is a god.
He's doing okay. I would like just 1% of his 1%.
Right? I literally think he just called Bill, or Bill called him about 8 a.m. yesterday, and they did nothing more than, okay, so who else you got? Okay, so who else you got? He's a god. The man is a god. He's a filthy god. I mean, and he's... There are people who do business at a level that I cannot fathom. I will never fathom it. My head hurts. I was just watching some guy try to explain parallel universes and such in a way that theoretically people could understand, and my head hurts from that. My head hurts from thinking about people like Drew Rosenhaus literally making himself $80 million in about 5 hours. I mean, it's just like, you can't make that up.
Nice work if you can get it.
We're not here. Well, he earns it. I mean, my God, the man. You know, that must be said for all these guys, the movers and shakers. I mean, you must earn it. I just saw, by the way, Boston area folks, your newest partial owners are LeBron James and his partner. They have just bought into the Red Sox.
Yes.
So, I mean, movers and shakers indeed all over the Boston area.
There you go.
It's crazy. My friend, I mean, we'll get into what I'm here to talk about in a minute. My friend from Jersey was like asking me, like, wow, I saw you posted on Facebook about Bill Belichick. Are you like a Patriots fan now? I'm like, no, man, but living here in the belly of the beast has been crazy, and it's just it's another like swing of this pendulum. It's incredible to watch. Man, I hope you're all enjoying this. If you're a sports fan, man, I don't know what happened in Boston. I don't know what happened to Boston. I was laughing about this with my wife the other day. When I was growing up, Boston was, you know, I mean, you had the Bruins. That was nice. But, like, what the heck? It's like Boston started taking, when steroids fell out of favor in professional sports, somehow Boston sports executives got on some sort of, that's weird. So, wine. We're here to talk about wine. And we're talking about this whole month. We've been talking about packaging wine, right? Like how wine gets to you from the barrel or stainless steel tank into your glass. And today, shipping up to Boston obviously started our segment here. We're talking about sort of shipping and boxes. I sort of combine these two. And this has been of a particular relevance, obviously, during the time of COVID, when people started noticing that shipments of things were delayed and indeed not coming at all. And that's because a long time ago, people like Kermit Lynch, who is a golden god of the wine industry, and he has a shop out in Berkeley, but he was one of the first guys who basically went over to France and said, you know, why, you know, these small, wonderful estates, why won't you sell to me so that I can sell to my fairly wealthy, even at the time, clientele in the Berkeley area? And they're like, they wouldn't even answer. But he started to realize, upon going into caves and seeing how, wine was stored upon its birth from the vineyard, he started to say, listen, I will ship your stuff in what we call reefers, refrigerated containers. And he gradually started to get the trust of these winemakers saying, like, I will make sure, because the problem is he was ordering from all these winemakers that would sell to him, and by the time they got to Berkeley, he would write them letters saying, like, hey, I don't know what you shipped me, but what I tasted in France is not this. This tastes terrible. And again, this sort of revelation of you've got to keep it cool, you've got to keep it stable. And so when the COVID pandemic struck, ships that were in China with refrigerated containers that were supposed to be unloaded by dock workers there couldn't then make it to Italy and thence to wherever they were going. And eventually to America, that were going to hold refrigerated containers full of Chianti, they didn't arrive. So when people sort of think about how wine gets here, you need to understand at this time of year especially, which of course is the time of year that COVID hit a year ago, right?
Right.
Not to be redundant. This is the time of year, if you come into Bangor Wine and Cheese right now, you are seeing new wine. You are seeing labels you haven't seen. You are seeing new vintages. This is the time of year that we receive wine in anticipation of the season, which for people that don't live in Bangor, but indeed live on the coast and everything else, is essentially May to September, right? So this is the time of year that the new vintages, the 19s, indeed the 20 rosés, they are arriving and couldn't arrive last year, and that is why you would. And same thing with, you know, we had the same problem with vinegars from Italy. So this is how, you know, the sausage is made in terms of getting us the wine, is that these refrigerated containers that come over on ships then got stuck either on the ship or in customs or wherever it happened to be. And so just understand that things are not even now fully back to where they were. So that's something sort of important to sort of keep in mind. The other thing that I kind of like to talk about, switching to another box really quick, and I know I don't have too much time, is the smaller box that we have finally realized upon realizing that the bigger shipping container is smart, because you sort of pack it full and put it on the thing. And try to eliminate as much air space, as it were. Well, of course, one of the biggest problems in shipping anything is it's heavy. And when you're shipping bottles, of course, anybody who's ever opened a case of wine knows that there's a lot of air in there as well as bottles and liquid. So the advent of the boxed wine is, I always take this time to tell people, boxed wine, the small version of the most ultimate portable, earth-friendly, and indeed not even boxes now, but we have bags of wine that dispense with the need for the cardboard. This is a thing that has been a big thing in Europe for years, and it's great that it's finally getting here to America. We just got in a new rosé box from one of my favorite guys in California, very limited, unfortunately. But we will continue, I mean, you know, to grow that category, because it makes so much sense, both for the earth, for your bottom line, your wallet. So boxed wines, going back to the tradition of going to your local village co-op, in France, they call it en vrac, you know, in bulk, and getting that's really what we're kind of getting back to. And it's going to save the industry, probably, eventually. But bottles are still going to be king. Really quick, want to mention tonight on Destination Downtown Bangor, Summer Allen, Valentine Footwear, and myself, we'll be talking to either Heather Firth or both Firths about their involvement in downtown Bangor and how they view the living and existing situation in Bangor. And then do keep for the I'll be interviewing the technical director of the Britannia Estate, and that will be coming out in about 2 weeks. So masters of Valpolicella and Amarone. So folks who like that wonderful part of Italy, keep your eyes out for that as well. And next week we will be talking about cans and these other new innovations that are coming along in the wine industry. Again, ways that people are trying to figure out the millennials, trying to figure out how to sell wine to an increasingly picky and diverse public. It's packaging has sort of become the new landscape of wine, which is kind of sad, I guess, in a way, because you kind of want the wine to be the focus. But it's timely, if nothing else. So with that, I'm sure I'm out of time. I will wish you all well. Keep taking care of each other. Get your vaccinations, folks, and I'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, I need to stop in and get a box of wine. I've enjoyed the wine in boxes I've purchased there.
Yeah, it's, you know, real quick, I was in Beaujolais, 7 years ago, and I noticed a box of their wine. I'm like, why isn't that on my containers? And they're like, oh, Americans don't want that. Like, no, we really do. They just don't know it yet, you know, and now we're finally getting there. So it's, you know, it's just the easiest thing. And again, it's, you know, we love to save money here, right? You literally save the price of a bottle at least every time you buy a box that is the equivalent of like four bottles. It's a no-brainer.
Exactly.
So, and I'll show you what we got.
And it's good wine, too. Awesome. Well, we'll see you on...
Well, that's the point.
Yeah.
It ain't Franzi anymore, folks.
No. See you on the interwebs tonight.
Sounds good. Cheers. Right.
Thanks, bye-bye. Eric. Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the Bottle every Tuesday here on Downtown.